Very good Wednesday morning to you right here on 104.5 The Zone. The show is J Mart and Ramon, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Jonathan Schaefer, our producer, 11-year NFL veteran Ramon Foster to my right. And in for Jason Martin again today, I am Will Bowling. Phone lines filling up, and you've got your chance to react with us as well at 615-737-1045. The question is simple. What's the first move you are making if you are John Robinson and the Tennessee Titans this offseason? We've got that coming up. We've got Emily Proud coming up at 8:20, Rhett Bryan at 9. A full show and a full slate of reaction from Titans fans who might be going through a different stage of grief today, Ramon Foster.
Yeah, I think we've kind of transitioned a little bit, Will, as far as, you know, what's the expectations and reality, I think, is more or less set in right now. You know, that's where we can start talking about these type of conversations, man, as far as, you know, what's next. So, and I just want to give a preference first before we, you know, we start taking these calls and getting into more of what's the first move to be made. You want me to go through the list of 2022 free agents for the Titans?
Hit me.
Top of the list, Ben Jones, Jayon Brown, Anthony Firkser, Rashawn Evans, Jeff Swaim, Harold Landry, long snapper Morgan Cox, Marcus Johnson, who showed a little praise, Nick Duesenbar, Matthias Farley, Randy Bullock. Hey, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Ola Adeniyi, Chester Rogers, Michael Pruitt, Greg Maben, Trevor Coley, Kyle Pecco, Kari Blassingame, Ficken, Questenberry, T.R. Tart, Cam Batson, backup quarterback Logan Woodside, Dane Cruikshank, Nick Westbrook, Kina, Derek Roberson, Avery Genesee, and Ryan Izzo.
That's a lot of turnover again.
It's a lot of key core guys on this list, too. I didn't realize Tier was already up.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and there are a lot of guys, too, that are on big deals right now that are not going to be back either.
Yeah. Sheesh.
615-737-1045. What is the first move that you are making this offseason? We begin with Trey in Nashville. What's going on, Trey?
Hey, good morning.
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 Hey, I was just thinking, man, that, you know, Ryan, I think he'll be better. He just need to get his timing down, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just, his timing's been off for, like, the last three games. And we need to do something about tight end, man.
Mm-hmm.
That slot position's been terrible ever since Delaney left. And y'all tell me what y'all think about that.
Thank you, Trey.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
You too.
Absolutely, Trey.
Yeah, I think the Titans need the multiplicity of having a running back with a more diverse route tree and a tight end with a more diverse route tree.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this with Coach Mack before, that what once you have the unknown of, hey, this running back is in, and he might be in to block, he might be in to catch, he might be in to run over the middle, he can run to the outside, but you also have that with the tight end at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you create more deception within the offense. I don't know about you, I feel like the Titans really telegraphed when they were running play action, when they were throwing this year, just based on the personnel wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever I was watching the game with, when I would see Nick Westbrook, Akina, and Jeff Swaim
mm-hmm.
as the two guys mm-hmm. on the field, it's, all right, this is a run. Or it's a play action dump down to Jeff Swaim for 5 yards.
Tendencies. You knew what was expected.
And if I noticed that,
yeah.
then a quality control assistant that's sitting behind the defense coordinator up at the booth saying, hey.
Yeah, for real.
Julio's on the field. They're passing.
I mean, think about it.
Hey.
Exactly. You legitimately got... So you talk about quality control assistants.
Yeah.
Like, those aren't just regular Joes.
Right.
You, those are your Sean McVays.
Uh-huh.
You know, Raheem,
Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur's. Those are your guys that played those positions. Kyle Shanahan. It's not like they're just slappies. They actually know the game. And, Will, like you said, you see that tendency.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trey bring up that point, though. I've always been told from college on up, when you start to understand the game a little bit more, my tight end is my blanket. It keeps me warm. You know, that's why I can drop the ball off to. That's what Joe Burrow did to Usman.
Yeah.
You know, this past weekend. Right. Think about it.
Right.
There's a few times in the game, it's like, why are you not covering him? Well, when you have attractions on the outside as far as receivers go, you can dump it off to a really good possession tight end, and that's what they've done.
Here's the where I'm going to go with this, and we've got a full segment coming up in a minute to kind of have a more nuanced conversation here. We talked about A.J. Brown's yards after catch numbers.
Yeah.
Going way down in 2021 versus 19 and 20. Titans need guys that can get their own yardage. Kind of like in basketball. You need a point guard that can get his own shot.
Yep.
Your ceiling is held down by the fact that you got to have dudes who are just dudes that make their own play out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry when he has the ball in his hands, how many of those guys do you really see on the Tennessee Titans offense right now?
You know what opened my eyes to saying nobody thus far?
Julio's been that for a lot of his career, but
yes.
I think a lot of what he would be able to do is predicated by Ryan Tannehill hitting him deep down the field.
Yeah, now, I ain't going to take away from A.J. as much.
No, I agree. I think A.J. Brown is the exception
of this. When I thought about it, but looking at the way Ja'Marr Chase just spit off from Christian Fulton this past weekend.
That's it. It increases your margin for error so much.
Like that get the ball to your athletes in space. It's almost like Little League a little bit in a sense. You know, a little flag football. Where is the athlete? Where is he? Oh, there he is.
Yep.
Like you need a couple of them on your team to your point, Will. 100%, man. That played off of Cincinnati in a huge way because that was a 1 yard out. Like, that was a 1 yard stop route. Like,
it looked like a hot read of Joe Burrow knew that there was the blitz on the backside to his left. And so he had a hot read and he called at the line, hey, you know, we're going to run this little flash screen over here to the left if they bring eight. And that's what the Titans did. And it hit for 60 yards.
1-on-1.
Yeah.
Athletes win. And both of them are really good athletes. You know, Ja'Marr Chase and Christian Fulton.
Right.
He got them on that play.
At the end of the day, you know this as well as anybody, this league comes down to winning one-on-one.
Yeah, it does.
At the end of the day,
yep.
You win a Super Bowl if you win one-on-one. Yep. I know there's a lot of talk about you got to have the quarterback, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the quarterback then changes your margin for error for how many one-on-ones you have to win or how many you are allowed to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because your quarterback can make something out of absolutely nothing.
You know where that goes all across the board?
Where's that?
Von Miller in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
How many one-on-ones did he win day?
Because Peyton in the last 10 years probably had the worst performance of a Super Bowl winning quarterback in the last decade of the NFL.
We love him.
We do.
But
he's probably the second greatest to ever play the position.
But behind Tom. Yeah, yeah, I'm tripping. I was about to say behind who?
I wouldn't have said that a couple of years ago.
Merit.
Hurts me.
What's wrong with you?
Let's go to Cousin Bam real quick.
What's up, Bam?
Here in Nashville. Good morning, Bam.
Good morning. I'm getting there day by day. I'm a little bit better. I'm still pissed off a little bit. I still say the first thing we need to do this morning or the off season is get rid of Ty Downing.
Oh.
I'm not changing that. That's I'm choosing violence all day. But I'm going to say this when it comes to J-Rob. Last year, and I'm pretty sure Ramon, you can attest to this. Everybody can say this. Nobody said when all the talk was about Julio coming here, it's not going to happen, y'all. Get out. Get it out your head. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. We all not say that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, it's not going to happen. Whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop.
Mm-hmm.
We look up, Julio's getting off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is John Robinson is a different kind of dude. I don't expect, like, I'm not going to be surprised if he does something and we look up and see some changes that we're talking about aren't going to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, he's proven himself to be that. So, I mean, I don't know what. I just got a feeling Robinson's going to blow everybody's mind. If we make any other changes, I'd say we really need that tight end, man. That Jonnu Smith, not saying him, but we need that kind of person because that was Ryan Tannehill's blanket, to be honest with you. Anthony Firkser ain't filling that role. For whatever reason, he may have been a good decoy for Jonnu or whatever, you know, make he plays, mm-hmm. but he's just not that dude to do that. I'm still not 100% sold that John Robinson is not going to change something at that quarterback position either.
I listen, man.
I'm just talking, but I'm talking good at the same time.
I know, Bam.
Have a good day, man.
I wrote it down. 126-22. Bam says JR is going to do something wild.
Not at the quarterback position. I don't think so.
He said he's. I just wrote it down just in case we got to come back to it, Will.
Ryan Tannehill has given you a proof of concept for winning. Yeah, I know. It's just, and we got months of this, and I'm okay with it. I'm not going to judge anybody for having that opinion. I just don't think it's practical.
Yeah.
I don't think the opinion is wrong. It's the it's the next steps.
I'm just
where's the money coming from? I mean nobody really knows at this point, but
yeah.
They definitely don't hear. 615-737-1045. What is your first move of the offseason? We'll start with Phil after the break, get to Robert after that. Lots more of your reaction and more of our thoughts on the first moves that we would make for the Titans this offseason. Hour number two underway. We got a whole lot more left. It is J. Martin and Ramon right here, 104.5 The Zone. J. Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, hanging out with you on this Wednesday alongside Ramon Foster, Will Bowling back with you. Day off for Jason Martin, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Always. Not loafing. Really.
Yeah, really. I'm saying he's loafing. Jay just found a way to get a day.
615-737-1045 is the number. The question is simple. What's your first move for the Tennessee Titans this offseason? Besides getting a day.
Or week.
Or week.
Yeah.
Ramon, what sticks out to you? Because I want to get your thoughts on this before we go back to the phones on the one move that sticks out above everything else. We're going to hear a lot of get rid of Todd Downing. We're going to hear a lot of get rid of Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. I think we are working from the working understanding that's probably not going to happen.
But if you do call in and give us that,
yeah,
you got to give us a reason too.
Sure.
That's the only caveat to it, Will. Can we throw that out there?
Make yourself different.
State a case on why.
Absolutely.
Okay. But aside from those two, and I think the other one is tight end. Those moves, you know.
We've gotten a lot of that so far.
But I say, I think most fans of the game now have an understanding of this, though, Will. If you don't have an OL, you don't really have a hole.
Spoken like a true OL.
You know.
But that, you're right.
At right tackle. And what, Ben Jones ain't that old as far as O-line world goes.
Especially centers.
As center. You know, he's not that old. But I got to throw Questenberry and I got to throw Ben. I honestly do think you can afford to keep Saffold and you can afford to keep Lawan too. Whether he restructures, I doubt it. I'll be real with y'all. If he restructures, it's going to be a lot of people in the left tackle markets like Taylor. What the bleep are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't do this to us just because whatever your situation is in Tennessee.
Right.
And he's young enough, just being real with you, that he doesn't have to take a pay decrease.
Sure.
I'll be completely honest with y'all. If he takes one as young as he is, as bad as O-line play is in this league as far as trying to find quality,
mm-hmm.
You say what you want to, but he's still above the line. His right. Antics and the way he act, and, you know, you don't like the busting stuff or the attitude he get or his, you know, mysterious missing game moments. I mean, it's a lot worse out there is what I'm telling you.
Sure.
But I wouldn't even go. I would go right tackle. I would go center trying to figure those two out first.
Sure. And first move is not necessarily your biggest money move either.
Yes.
I think a lot of time your first move in an offseason is stabilizing your core and the base of what you want to build around.
Yes, sir.
And I don't think that Harold Landry is the first move that this team makes.
Mm-mm.
Because I think that you can evaluate your options at that position as the entire offseason goes.
Yeah.
I think Titans fans also get frustrated by the fact that they feel like they've been drafting the same needs since 2005.
Wow.
Right tackle, left tackle, edge rusher, wide receiver.
Yeah.
Rinse and repeat. Derek Morgan. Derek Morgan, even back then, Titans needed edge rusher. Derek Morgan, Kevin Dodd, Harold Landry.
Brian Arakpo.
Always got to have a couple of them.
Clowney.
And yeah.
Last year. Yeah, that's true.
And
Will,
you always have to have more edge rushers than you think you need.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of attrition there, and the fresher those guys are, the better they are.
Yes.
Over the course of a game and an entire season. But I feel like Titans fans get really, really frustrated by just thinking about having to go into the first round being like, all right, so who's the tackle this year? Even last year. I mean, Isaiah Wilson was supposed to be the guy.
True.
Jack Conklin, Taylor Lewan. I mean, this fan base feels like they're drafting the same thing over and over. They're doing the same draft over and over. It's interesting. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Phil in Nashville with his first move for the Titans. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
So I want to follow up on something you said. You said Ryan Tannehill has given us a blueprint, and you're right. He's given us the blueprint how to fold like a cheap suit when the game is on the line and the quarterback has to elevate himself and everybody around him to play better. Everybody in Miami right now is looking at us going, see, told you so. He's regressed. He looks more like the Ryan Tannehill from Miami, which is probably the real deal. He might be a great regular season quarterback, but when the game's on the line and he's got to step up, it ain't Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Especially given the fact that I've thrown three picks. The last one was awful, especially when you had Furcher sitting there just waiting for somebody to throw him the ball. But I've got to throw it to somebody with four guys around him. And then I'm sitting on the sideline laughing. If I'm the GM, I don't want my quarterback laughing because he's thrown three picks, one in the end zone when everybody, you know, saw the guy coming before it was even snapped. It was, you know, returned. Yeah. So, I mean, if that was Tom Brady, there would be a line of broken surface. There wouldn't have been a Microsoft Surface left in the stadium. You know, if I'm John Robinson, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers because he feels disrespected. And we saw what a pissed off Tom Brady did the other year.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking we could probably do a good year with Aaron Rodgers and then go from there. See if somebody wants to pick up the tag for Tannehill. That or we're going to have the league's most expensive backup quarterback. Oof. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Phil. Couple questions. Is Aaron Rodgers also not known for not winning in the playoffs? Or did I miss something?
That was that one offseason I was a part of with him.
Because Aaron Rodgers has won one Super Bowl, and he's one of the best quarterbacks ever. So let's just get that out of the way first. There's a lot to unpack in that call. Thank you for the call, Phil. Aaron Rodgers scored 10 points against the 49ers. Like the same weekend that the Titans lost.
Yeah.
So let's start there. Let's also go to the fact that Ryan Tannehill leads the NFL with 13 game-winning drives since he joined the Tennessee Titans. All right, when the game is on the line, Ryan Tannehill has been very good. One game against the Cincinnati Bengals does not change the entire resume and the entire body of work of what he's done.
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't been great in the playoffs, sure, but, I mean, come on.
Very good points, Will, but I say this. You know this. It's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league.
Well, sure it is, but...
And this is the other part of it. You ain't wrong in your point. You back it up with everything you said, and I'll say this too. Shout out to Phil, because Phil came with why. We told him if we were going to come with John, with Todd or Tannehill, come with a reason why. He came with his whys. This is the thing, though, that I think bothers people, though, Will, is you have the assets. You had John Robinson move the cap to get Julio.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got A.J. back healthy. Derek came back healthy. You got Deontay Foreman. The offense moved the way it should have moved. The defense got better. Drastically better than it did last year. And the one common denominator in all of those things that really has a sour taste in everybody's mouth is Ryan Tannehill, because they feel like he didn't hold up his end of performing well, Will, with everything that's been laid down.
Here's a conversation we haven't had this week. At least I haven't had this week. What about the fact that if you don't go for two before you need to go for two, you have the lead and you're not throwing the football when Ryan Tannehill throws his last interception? Isn't that a pretty key part of this conversation, too?
It's facts.
And the fact that Mike Hilton made an incredible play
facts on
the second interception.
Oh.
All right. I mean, how many interceptions that are bubble screens are thrown? Not many. You know why? Because defenders usually don't read that play perfectly and bat the ball to themselves. All right? The first interception was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Second and third ones are avoidable.
Yeah.
Or second one's probably unavoidable just because the defender made an incredible play. Third one's avoidable if you don't go for two before you need to go for two.
You still go back to his in-game decision-making, too.
Right. And obviously, he had more mistakes than was just
between
interceptions.
Him and Todd in the third down option, then the fourth down play that didn't go anywhere.
And I'm with you on that.
You look at the amount of picks he threw in the Pittsburgh game also. You look at how he played in the Jets game also. You look at how he played another catalyst. There's a trend here of, you know, what happened in the Texans game. And you're right, Ryan has been as steady as Steve since quarterback position here.
Absolutely.
But the acceptance of what this team knew, level of success, you can't blame him for throwing those shots at Ryan still.
Let me raise a point here. And I know this is comparing apples and oranges because the guy I'm going to compare Ryan Tannehill to has had all pro seasons before Tannehill did.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if the Titans had moved on from Kevin Byard this quickly after a bad season in 2020. How would that have gone when you then saw Kevin Byard go somewhere else and ball out and be a first-team All-Pro? Imagine if the Titans moved on from Shane Bowen after one really bad season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the sample size is big enough for either of these guys with them being married to one another. Because Todd Downing and Ryan Tannehill are partners in this offense being a good offense. All right, and there's not enough sample size of those two guys working together and being the guys to say that they both have got to be gone.
I think your point you made, I think it was either in a text or after the show yesterday, is the fact that, look, Vrabel's earned some grace. So maybe I heard Ron and Brent saying this. Vrabel has earned some grace.
Sure.
And Todd is, too, considering Arthur Smith wasn't as awesome in his first year.
Right.
And also the revamping of what Shane Bowen did this off. We don't even mention Shane right now.
No.
And he was a topic of conversation during the season.
The day he was promoted?
Yeah.
You would have thought the Titans had just lost a star player to injury for the season. That's what it felt like. Yeah. 615-737-1045. Wayne and Dixon is up next. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Time caller.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
I think I listen to you guys all day long at work. Anyways, I think John Robinson is going to blow everybody's mind. I think he's going to find a way to get rid of Tannehill, get Russell Wilson. I think he's going to get rid of Henry and keep Foreman and Hilliard. And then he's going to bolster that offensive line and get us some tight ends. I'm going to sit back and see what y'all think.
Thank you, Wayne. So here's my thing on this, and I don't think it's not that far out of the realm of possibilities to say that John Robinson could make some power moves and really change things up. Because what did John Robinson do after 2020 when the defense completely underachieved?
He heard the call.
He blew it up.
Yeah, he heard the call.
And what did the Rams do? I mean, there is a proof of concept for teams playing NFL GM like you play a Madden video game when you're a teenager, right? So I think the fans are warranted in feeling like these things are possible. Ramon, you know this as well as anybody. The way you win in the NFL is the perfect marriage of culture to scheme to personnel.
Yeah.
And in Derrick Henry, the Titans have a perfect culture and a scheme and the people around Derrick Henry to go all the way with Derrick Henry being the focal point of this offense. Is that fair?
I'm a push back on you a little bit on that one.
Do it.
I don't necessarily know if that's the recipe to get there.
Yeah.
I just don't. Watching everybody else do it. Now, yeah, I know lightning strikes every once in a while where you have this. But watching the way this kind of fell apart this year, I'm not saying Derek's a great part of it. But I don't need Derek leading the charge, man, anymore. I'll be completely honest with you.
Interesting.
And that's why I challenged Tannehill all last season. Like, we had these conversations. If y'all listened to us all of last season, if you listened to us during the season – if you listen to us when Derek went out, we brought up these conversations. We had these conversations about, look, Ryan's got to take a step. And I think watching these playoff games, because, again, regular season is one thing. We're looking at a team right now in Tampa that brought everybody back.
Right.
And you see how hard it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they still continue to roll also with Fournette being out. Fournette came back and they still lost. You know, but with him losing Chris Godwin, AB getting cut, I think that affected them a whole lot more. Again, a great friggin' culture to have with Derrick Henry. I think he is the leader on the offense.
Sure.
And you know, truth be told, I don't necessarily love that. Your quarterback should be.
Yeah.
Now, I know some people naturally are better leaders than others, but Ryan's the guy.
Yeah.
Ryan's got to be the one that's banging on tables to tell folks, hey, let's go, follow me, I got us.
Right.
A running back can get shut down. They legitimately can get shut down. But a quarterback can find ways to do certain things. You brought up a perfect scenario. You said Joe Burrow knew he was getting blitzed on the right side of the field.
Yeah.
And he threw to his dynamic wide receiver on the outside to go make a play for him.
And he did.
A running back getting blitzed most of the time is going to get stopped in the backfield.
The only pushback I have on that is that we have now plenty of evidence that the regular running back rules don't really apply to Derrick Henry. Because he's not a 21st century 2022 running back.
This is true.
He's one of the only running backs. I think he might be the only running back that can take over a game in spite of the 8-man boxes and the run blitzes against him.
You know what? You say that, but look how long it took for him to get started this past week, and he never did.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
That's the only pushback I would have.
It's probably not. It's not the easiest path to make it all the way to the Super Bowl because your margin for error is smaller as a run-first team than it is as a pass-first team. Your ceiling is always going to be higher going the elite quarterback route, but Titans are too far into this thing at this point where I think you have to, at this point, continue to commit to the fact that Derrick Henry is your ticket. Derrick Henry is your meal ticket to the Super Bowl. That's the situation they're in right
now. Okay, so, but now you said Derrick Henry is here. But now we're also getting to the point to where we're asking the questions, well, how do you actually, I think they're at the wall.
Yeah.
How do you push over the wall?
Sure.
I've been hearing a conversation this week across our show, across our station is, well, do you blow up what you've done as a DNA offensively then?
Right.
Do you get more passing?
It's a good question. 615-737-1045. We go rapid fire phones after the break. And Big Los will lead us off. Get a quick break here. Get a lot more of your phone calls. Lots of reaction on this. The first move that you would make as the Tennessee Titans this offseason. We'll get back to the phone lines when we come back at 104.5 The Zone. J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone. Ramon Foster, Will Bowling with you. What is your first move for the Tennessee Titans? We asked. You have overwhelmingly answered. So we go back to the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, and we start with Big Los in Shelbyville with his first move for the Titans. Good morning, Big Los.
Morning, Los.
Good morning, y'all. Good morning, man. Thanks for having me. First time caller, by the way.
Welcome to the game, man.
There we go. That's two today.
Yes, yes. And I just want to say, man, I'm hurt. I'm still hurt from the game Saturday, man. I can imagine how the players feel. But my first move that I'm making, man, I would go for a right tackle and a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And then I would ask Ryan Tannehill to take a pay cut, like, you know, restructure his contract.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a great regular season quarterback, but the playoffs for the last 3 years, he hasn't had any good stats, like, to, like, lead us, be the leader that we're supposed to have. Because I look at the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Bucks with Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer. They were the elite quarterbacks, but they knew how to manage the game. They didn't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to keep Todd Downing, I think they need to be watching that film right now, the Cincinnati game, and saying, what can we do to get better? Like, down there on first and goal, we ran the ball all the way down the field, and he throws a bubble screen. Why not run it and keep running it? I mean, that's just a decision. So, if we're going to keep them too, I don't say replace them. I think we got everything in line to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to have better communication and better leadership from our quarterback. And that's all I got to say, fellas. I thank y'all for having me.
Thank you, Big Los.
Want to add one thing to this real quickly.
Go ahead.
When we talk about restructuring deals, basically what you're doing is you're refinancing credit card debt. So you can restructure deals. So you're just pushing this money forward, and you're pushing it here, and you're pushing it there. Part of the issue you're having with Tannehill now in terms of if you wanted to move him is that the Julio deal, the way that got structured to guarantee that money and what he got, they had to restructure Tannehill, which then adjusted that salary cap.
Yeah.
You're basically refinancing debt into the future, which you can do, and that's a strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it also puts you at more risk that if something happens catastrophically or if a player does not pan out at all, it puts you in even more of a bind.
Yeah.
So it's not that you can't do it. It's not that it isn't a useful tool, but it's not a fix-all for everything.
You can only defer money for so long.
That's right.
You've already deferred it once. Yeah. 615-737-1045. Quickly on the right tackle conversation, Ramon.
Yeah.
The difficult part of where the Titans are now is that there are certain positions that in order to get a first-year starter out of the NFL draft, you have to use a first-round pick on them.
Yeah.
That's why it would hurt for the Titans to either have to take a left tackle or a right tackle, because if you're drafting either one of those positions, you're not finding a starting caliber left or right tackle beyond the first round, and you don't have a second-round pick.
Yeah. No, you don't. You're going to be waiting in the whim. And again, like Bam called in early and brought up the idea that John Robinson's going to do something free agent-wise, you know? Like, that's where the draft's going to have to be for this team.
Mm-hmm. And that money's got to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
615-737-1045 is the number if you want to jump in. Let's go to Adam in the Borough up next. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Adam.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, so, number one, you know, this little J-Mart break, you know, ain't so bad. You know, I can live with it for a little bit. Will's doing all right.
Thank you, Adam.
I think, you know, from a quarterback standpoint, we can talk about that all day. But I think we need to figure out who the quarterback on the defense is. So we need to solidify who's going to be our inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Brown, with Evans, with Cunningham.
You know, yep.
Who's that going to be? And I think if we do that, you know, the defense is set. And then we can go look at the pieces we need to get the offense where we think we need it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
It's going to be a process, man.
It is. And I think inside linebacker is an interesting conversation because Zach Cunningham just kind of fell into your lap.
He did.
But what's the opportunity cost of Zach Cunningham versus the next best option versus Lawan, Saffold, or the next best option behind your left tackle, your left guard, your right tackle?
Because
you got more options at inside linebacker than you do at offensive line. You just have more depth there by nature of the position.
Yeah.
But going into 2022 with Cunningham and Long, sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, it does.
Partners in Tackles for Loss.
I actually like that name, Cunningham and Long.
Cunningham and Long. That could be one of your more solid positions if you want to keep those two together, which I think is a good option.
I think that's, yeah, very much so.
Let's go back to the phones. Real quickly, though, 104.5 The Zone TV, you can interact with the show. Cousin Andrew saying, I give you Trey Smith for late-round offensive lineman. At the guard position, yes.
Real quick, come on. Like, Andrew.
Yeah.
We knew Trey was a friggin' first, if not second-rounder. Right.
Without the health issues, Trey Smith is a first-round pick.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. That ain't even the same conversation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's get one more call before the final break of the hour. Let's go to Jason in Hendersonville up next on the show. Good morning, Jason.
What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. We've hit on it all day long, but let's just think realistically. The money hits are too much, and what we have is what we have. We don't go anywhere without those big men in front of Tannehill. I mean, y'all said give a scenario be different. The sack ratio between Tannehill and Joe Burrow wasn't that big of a difference, 51 to 48, I think it was, or 47. So we have to solidify the offensive line. And when was Tannehill good? Tannehill was good when he had a check down, sure-handed tight end to take the pressure off of him. So if we go there. Now, as far as the offensive coordinator, I'm not happy with him. I'm not happy with the way Tannehill played. But I'm just saying if we can't get rid of them because of money and or for whatever reason, John Robinson just can't pull it out of his hat this go-around, start with your offensive line, keep Tannehill comfortable in the pocket, give him a tight end, a blanket to throw down to, because we all know, or at least it's said, that he's not the strongest arm quarterback in the league, and it doesn't appear that he's tremendously comfortable throwing out to the sidelines. He likes the center of the field. So start there. But if I could, I would not put a first-year offensive coordinator with a, let's say, middle-of-the-road quarterback. Mm-hmm. One of them has to be out. One of them has to be outstanding. Either you have an outstanding quarterback that covers the deficiencies of a first-year offensive coordinator, or you have a great offensive coordinator that's perfect with those X's and O's that makes your, let's say, second-tier quarterback look really good. I mean, so if the money was there, or if John Robinson saw an offensive coordinator out there that could improve the play just by X's and O's, I'd go after an offensive coordinator after the offensive line and the tight end. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jason. Great call. I think there's a lot of good points there.
It was.
Let's unpack that on the other side, get to the headlines around the NFL, get to halftime of the show already. Flying by, 2 hours down, 2 hours to go with Emily Proud coming up at 8:20. We'll continue this conversation coming up next on 104.5 The Zone.